And don't go far because I'm not going to be long. Because we wanted to, yeah. Yeah, someone said, yeah, we've heard that before. I'm doing my best to keep my eyes on the clock. And it's not just because there's a World Cup championship at noon. I really believe God, by His Spirit, has been speaking to us all morning. And there's just been a shift in the Spirit today. I can't describe it any other way. Now, for those who are our guests here today, and maybe this is a little bit unusual, and maybe you're not used to this kind of worship, that's okay. You're welcome to be here. We welcome you as part of the family. And we love to give opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to be able to minister to people. And there are times when He will change the agenda of what we have planned and what we want, but He changes the agenda because He has something that He wants to say and to do. Psalm 67, and for those who are new to us this morning, this summer we are in a series called Summer in the Psalms. Last week, Pastor Sue shared from Psalm 46. I shared a couple weeks ago on Psalm 23. Incidentally, I had the opportunity last Sunday to preach at Friendship Community Church. And this is part of an answer to our prayer and the vision that God has given to Sue and I since coming here, that God would open up opportunities where the body of Christ can come together and to share with one another what God is doing. We are not silos in the valley. We are not silos in Sydney and the peninsula. We're part of the kingdom doing kingdom business. And it was awesome that I was able to preach last Sunday, and I shared that message in verse 4. And I'm not going to take time this morning to share all that God did. I'll do that in another time because I believe God wants to focus on something else. By the way, we're going to save that video for next week. Okay. I had a missions video, but we're going to put that off till next week because I really want to share what God's laying on my heart this morning. Today I want to look at Psalm 67 and I want to ask the question, why does God bless us? Why does God bless? Oh, we all want to be blessed. We expect to be blessed. We desire His blessing and provision in our lives, and we're thankful for Him. We once a year on Thanksgiving, we give tribute to the blessings of God. But the question that I want us to look at is, why does God bless us? And I want us to hear this, that God blesses us, God blesses His people, not so that we can hoard His blessings and goodness, but so that we in turn can bless the world and glorify His name. Could we stand together as we read from Psalm chapter 67? Psalm 67, and I'm reading from the New International Version. And the psalm begins, for the director of music, the stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. We do not know who the director of music was. We do not know who wrote this psalm. Many assume it must have been David. He wrote many of the psalms for sure, as well as his son Solomon, Moses, Asaph, one of the worship leaders. And there were several who contributed and compiled songs of worship that are part of the Psalter. In this particular psalm, it's written to the director of music with stringed instruments. It was to be used as a tool of worship in the temple. Some believe that it was specifically used by the people of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, during the week of Pentecost, when they would gather in the temple, they would sing this song. And in fact, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, it is believed that this is what the choir was singing when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So let's look at it closely. The psalm continues in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 67 is not as well known as some of the other more famous psalms, like Psalm 23 or Psalm 46 or Psalm 139. But prominence and significance do not often walk together hand in hand. Such was the case with Psalm 67. Even though it is somewhat obscure, Psalm 67 has an important message that I believe can change your life, Sydney, British Columbia, Canada, and change the world. The message is that God desires to use your life to reach the world for his glory. As we read this psalm, there are several things I would like you to note. I would like you to note how the word bless is used three times in verses 1, 6, and 7. The words peoples, nations, and earth are used 12 times, making this a missionary song. The word all is used in verse 2 as all nations. In verses 3 and 5, we see the phrase all the peoples. And in verse 7, all the ends of the earth. So what we see right at the very outset of this is that this is a psalm of blessing. It's a psalm reminding us that God desires to bless his people. And God longs to respond to his people when they cry out to him. God is a blessing God. At the same time, this psalm, this blessing, is not meant to be hoarded among ourselves. It's not meant to be kept within the four walls of this building. It's not meant to be done just once or twice a year. But it is a song, it's a psalm, it's a blessing that God wants to pour out through us to the nations, to the peoples, to everyone we meet, wherever they are. And then notice this little word, Selah. We had one of our helpers, her name was Selah, and her parents named her before this word. And for all of the musicians here, you will all appreciate this. On any music score, you have this little weekly line or a little box on top of a bar or a measure. And that is a rest. And it's meant for the musician to stop, wait, and take a breath. Do that with me. Stop, measure, and take a breath. Why? Because something new is about to start. The song is about to continue. There is something more that you need to hear. And this little word is reminding us as his people that there is more, that we need to, God wants us to stop, wait, listen, and take a breath. I certainly hope and encourage all of our VBS, our day camp workers, to take, if you haven't already done so, to take a day or two this week and just take a breath. And that's what God is calling us to do. That's what God's calling you to do. Life seems to spin like a top many days. And we wonder, how can we ever carry on? This is how we carry on. We stop. We listen. We take a rest because as we take that breather and inhale, we are going to exhale the blessings of God, because God has something more for us to do. He wants to bless us. He wants us to ask for his blessing. Why? Because he wants the blessing to be poured out on the peoples and the nations of the world. Those words, peoples, nations, and earth, that are used 12 times, speak of people groups, languages, those who are in your neighborhood, those who are in your condo, those who are at your school, those who are at work. It includes the people who look different from you. It includes the people who speak a different language than you. It includes the people who are new to this country. It includes all those people, because God sent his son to die for them all. And the blessings that he's poured out upon you and upon me, he wants to pour through us to bless them with the message of God's grace and mercy and love through Jesus Christ. You see, there are two schools of thought. And one of the schools of thought says there is worship and then there is work. And those in this school over here, that's all they talk about is worship. Worship, 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 worship. We need to worship, 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 worship. Oh, let's worship with all worship. And that's all we hear is worship, worship, worship. Now, I thank God, truly, for the blessing of the men and women that we have to lead us. And I'll tell you why I love our worship ministry so much. Because none of them are on this stage to show up. But they are here not leading in songs. They are here worshiping. They are worshipers themselves. And as they worship, the spirit of worship is contagious. Did you know that? The spirit of worship is contagious. And we have experienced a little bit about that. And that's that camp over here. Then there's this other camp of work, 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 work. No, no, okay. Worship is fine. Well, let's get it over with and let's get to the real stuff. Let's get to the word. Let's get to ministry. Let's get to serving. Let's get busy, 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 busy. And what God is saying to us this morning and reminding us through this song, it isn't one camp versus another camp. Notice what God is saying, what God's vision is for the peoples of the earth. It says, may the peoples praise you, verse 3. God, may all the peoples praise you. And then in verse 5, he says it again. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. You know what I was thinking, Bev? This is like a modern day worship song. You got the verse, then the chorus, then they repeat the chorus. Again, and again, and again. What is God saying? I believe what he is trying to say to us today. His desire is that the whole world would worship him. And the only way they're going to know how is when they see the people of God embracing the worship of our God in heaven. Each and every day, everywhere we walk, everywhere we go, that our lives are exuding the love and worship of our God and Creator and our Savior. Because I believe worship, when we're truly worshiping in spirit and truth, that is where you truly understand the heart of God for the world. Because when you and I are worshiping him in sincerity, in humility, in spirit, and in truth, something happens within our hearts where we are filled, not with just the blessing of His Spirit to hold in, but we can't hold it in. We have to let it out, and we have to let other people know what God has done in our lives. So that when we meet that person at work, when that family member is going through a time of depression, and they're wondering, what makes you tick? Why is it that you can be so strong? Why is it that you can be so thankful when life just sucks? Yeah, I said that word. I apologize. But we need to hear it. We need to open our ears to hear that worship, out of worship will flow the ministry that God has called us to minister to others. One of the resources I was reading this week was H.B. Charles. And I love what he says in his book. He says, mark it down. God blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. But here's the warning. God will soon stop sending blessings to you if He cannot send blessings through you. That just gripped my heart when I read that. I said, oh God, help me not to be, Lord, help me not to be a vessel that takes everything in and not let anything out. But may I be like that bucket that as you're pouring out of your Spirit in my life, that it'll pour out of my life through to others to touch people in your name. That's why we do what we do. Some people ask me, why do we do what we do? Why do we spend time, energy, and money on ministering to our children? This morning, when I was at home praying for the service, I had a word dropped into my heart. And I shared this with my sister today. My sister is a children's pastor, probably the foremost, and I say this with all sincerity and humility. She's never been to Bible college, yet she taught at one of our Bible colleges in Peterborough, pouring into young students. And she's ministered to children all around the world. She served as a leader of our district children's ministries in Eastern Ontario. And today she's a children's pastor, part-time, doing much like what Sue does here. It's a church not much different than our church. And she's ministering to children in that thing. And I sent her this message. We just completed another summer day camp. This is the 10th since coming to Sydney. We averaged 23 to 30 children per day. Many were from the neighborhood. Some were from families who have recently come to Canada from the Philippines, Armenia, and India, just to name three. Some had a nominal church background. Others, it was their very first time in church. On Thursday morning, eight children, as you heard Sue testify, came forward to pray with Sue to receive Jesus. What deems a VBS a success? Is it huge numbers of children? Is it new families attending our church? What is a successful VBS? For us, a successful VBS begins with the leadership team. Sue put together a team of volunteers of youth and seniors, even from other churches, who faithfully served the children every day with joy. Chad, would you p- put up that first slide. This is just a sample. The reason I'm getting emotional right now, this morning in my Facebook memories, you know how on Facebook they send you memories from years ago? Some you, oh, wow, I forgot about that. Others are, oh, Lord, do I have to remember that? One of the memories was from 7 years ago. And you'll see that young lady right beside Sue with all of the stickers on her shirt. And it was a picture of her 7 years ago. And this week, she served with Sue and the others with Arhan and so many others. This is just a small sampling of the youth and the youth workers that came. Most of them have been through our VBS, where we poured into them Jesus over the years. And now they are finding their place of ministry where they're wanting to serve God by serving others. You want to put up that other picture, Chad? Here's the other picture that blessed me. There is a lie of the enemy that says, oh, I can't serve God. I'm too old. I've had my day. It's time for somebody younger to do it. We've all heard that. We may have said it. And Sue was talking with Cynthia. And Cynthia's part of a group of fix-it people, and one of a few of them are sewers. And they came. Bea was with us. And they poured into the kids this week. The kids loved it because it was like, I've got grandma all to myself. The seniors were there. The grandmas were loving it because they were doing something that God gave them to do, to pour into. Two questions that I want to ask as we are going to turn this auditorium into a place of worship in just a moment. What do you have in your hand? You're asking God, you've been asking God, Lord, use me, use me, use me. And you've been praying and waiting and praying and waiting. And God is saying to you, what's in your hand? Is it a sewing needle? Is it a wrench to fix cars? What has God given you? Is it knobby knees because you have been on your face before God in prayer? Please don't ever underestimate the power of intercessory prayer. What has God given you? What is in your hand? How do we deem a success? Success is parents in tears telling Sue how their little girl explained salvation in her own words. It's the generations, as we have seen, serving and worshiping together. Senior late grandmas pouring into children skills that they wouldn't learn anywhere else. And youth giving back as they have been given. Success is the generations serving together. Yeah, VBS is hard. It's exhausting. When I saw those 8 children courageous enough to come forward and stand with Sue and pray with her to receive Jesus, let the devil's mouth be shut. Yes, 1,000 times yes, ministry to children will always pay off because we are pouring out the blessing that God has poured upon us. We are pouring through to a generation that needs Him, that longs for Him, that's walking our streets, that's walking our nation. And God, He is pouring out. God, and I say, pour out again. In conclusion, and worship team, please come. I want to end with this. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Chances are we may not see a lot of these children coming into our church. We pray we do. We gave them all invitations to our Wednesday Kids Club starting up again in the fall. We pray they do. We pray that we can continue to minister to their parents and their families. But there are going to be many that we may not see again. But that doesn't mean we failed. Because this is what John sees. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And this is not going to happen one day in the future. This is actually happening right now in heaven. This is what's going on around the throne right now. And there will be a day when we are going to join them. And you know what's going to happen, I believe? What's going to happen is that one of those people are going to come up to you and me, and they're going to say, "You don't remember me, but I attended that VBS in Sydney. And as a little boy, as a little girl, I accepted Jesus. And it's because of that I'm here now. And that's why we worship. And that's why we pray for the blessing. Because as He blesses us, He will bless others. Sydney, the peninsula, Parklands, North Saanich Middle School, Victoria, Toronto, Nigeria, Kiev. Because we were simply obedient and said, God, use me. Will you dare pray that dangerous prayer? The prayer that He will always, always answer. Lord, if there's someone that I can speak to today, will you use even me? And be prepared for the greatest adventure of your life.
Amen.
All the power and glory to God, and we trust in Him. And He's the Ancient of Days. He doesn't change. He's forever.